Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Boy, AI certainly has been a topic of conversation in a lot of circles. That's necessary. Coming at us pretty fast. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago with Jason Neifer with the Montana Digital Academy. He had mentioned, and we had Marianne Smith as well with Coding Girls on. We explored what AI is going to do in education in that show. And he had mentioned that he's working with the MTDA, the Montana Digital Academy, MTDA. They're working with OPI, sorry about the acronyms, Office of Public Instruction, right? For some guidelines. Well, those guidelines have been released here. First of its kind in the nation. We're going to talk about that, where AI is going to fit into education, how we keep local control. Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, is going to join us here in just a little bit. I'll go over this document first. We have education and AI once again on Voices of Montana. We're talking about artificial intelligence and education in Montana. The Montana way, they got a balanced approach here that focuses on local control and also is pretty variable in a lot of ways, too. And it's out. It's the first of its kind. The Montana K-12 Artificial Intelligence Guidance. We are welcoming Susie Hedlund, who is our Superintendent of Public Instruction. And Susie, good job on this. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning. And thank you for having me today.
Talk about where this started, and then we'll talk about where we're at now. But this has to go back a little ways, and you probably, there's a lot of people, as I've said earlier, and you know, we had Executive Director Jason Neifer from the Montana Digital Academy on, along with Marianne Smith, a little while ago, and they really focused on some of the keys that you guys are trying to address here.
Yes, thank you so much. Jason has done a great job, Neifer, with the Digital Academy. And the Digital Academy in Montana has been a top-notch resource for our schools, rural to AA, across the state of Montana to ensure all students have access to the courses that they would like to take, no matter where they are in Montana. So when I was a superintendent in Grass Range, in a small Class C school, our students were on Digital Academy. So I have worked with Jason Neifer and the Digital Academy team for many years, and they've done a great job in this digital learning space. So it just made sense that they helped us with their expertise as we moved into AI. So it's been a great process to collaborate with them and get this, be able to come to fruition.
What did it take? What did it take to get the ball rolling? What did it take to make sense of what you were trying to accomplish in terms of providing guidelines for something that's moving so fast?
So we had a large committee come together, and to be honest, my experts from the OPI, who are rock stars, sat on the committee and worked with this group of folks leading the charge in this direction. We had rural educators, we had school administrators of Montana, many different groups come together to do this great work. I have, for the first time ever at the OPI, Lucas Rousey. He is a computer science expert and graduate that's doing this work for me because it is such a priority to me and such a big focus that we have our data and AI and these, huge movements on track. So he's been participating, representing our office. I have hired teachers on my executive team as well, high school teachers from the field that are representing us and helping in this area. That's why you can feel that educator voice and and see that it's something that educators can really utilize in their classrooms.
Talk about the core principles, developing the core principles. I imagine we're thanking all those those folks who helped in here. This was probably a big part of it, and maybe one of the most difficult.
Yeah. So one of the things that's really important in the principles that I identified with is just that transparency and modeling that as educators and administrators. So this tool for AI usage in schools not only talks about how you have these conversations with students, but how you utilize AI also as an educator and a leader in your schools. So making sure that you're transparent with disclosing when you utilize AI is one of the sections in this tool that I think is important for people to consider. So the core principles, you know, really talk about the academic integrity and ethics that go along with utilizing AI.
Susie Hedlund is with us, Superintendent of Public Instruction from the Office of Public Instruction, and that is opi.mt.gov. We're talking about these new guidelines, first of its kind in the country here, for AI implementation into the classroom here. And going down some of these core principles, there's a lot of kids in Montana, 140,000 in schools, maybe I'm trying to remember. You got like some 400 school districts, is that about right?
Yes, we are one of the only states with that number of school districts, over 400 school districts across the state of Montana, 432 LEAs to be exact.
That's got to create some challenges when you're trying to look at protecting privacy, when you're trying to look at security of this information. It's one of your core principles. Maybe go into that a little bit.
Yes, so that's why this is really important. And Montana is very big on local control, and we support that. So one of the things that has come along with this guidance is a model policy developed by MTSBA, which districts can work with their school boards to change to suit their local needs and fit their community. But it establishes a really nice framework, so we're thankful for them putting that guidance document together. And this is, you know, a policy that will help put those safeguards in place. It's really important that we have monitoring systems, an understanding of how AI can, you know, should be used and not used, best practices, and those guidelines for educators and for students established in our schools. So the safety and security is very important to us, and we want to make sure that, you know, through this tool and through our professional development that we offer to all of our educators across the state of Montana, we are ensuring that everyone is prepared to safely implement AI. It's also a very powerful tool, so we want to make sure that they know how to utilize it well. But safety and security is always at the forefront.
How do you how does this one work? Or get into this for me a little more. This human oversight and educator judgment. AI should support. I'm reading from the document here. AI should support, but not replace educators. Teachers bring context, empathy, and moral reasoning that no machine can replicate. All AI use must include active human engagement and oversight. I'm glad to see that as a core principle. Maybe talk about developing that.
Yes. So, you know, one thing to think about when you get into AI is that the algorithms are what they are, and they're only as good as, you know, what the computer has been fed. So you need to have that understanding that, you know, it is based on an algorithm, and we need to really think critically about the information that is coming from the AI-generated documents. So we need to make sure we're using our critical thinking, and we need to make sure that our students are learning to, you know, really utilize critical thinking and review what is being generated by AI and take close consideration into it. One thing I will say is, you know, a huge positive about that is that students get immediate feedback, which we know can be a huge teacher and can help a teacher manage a classroom, you know, on a writing assignment, for them to get that immediate feedback rather than a teacher using a red pen to correct, you know, 25, 30 papers is pretty incredible tool.
Yeah.
Right. So that immediate feedback as a learning tool for students can be an incredible opportunity. But them understanding, you know, that it might misinterpret how you're trying to utilize words, you still have to review your own writing and after AI is correcting it and make sure that it's coming out with sentences that make sense.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me, if you look on like social media or things like that right now, you can see which posts, you know, have been corrected by AI and not read through by a human afterwards. So things we need to be aware of for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad it becomes obvious, but, you know, the misinformation can not be obvious here as well. So a good focus on that. Here's one of the benefits I wanted to pull out here, reducing administrative burdens for educators and freeing them up so they can concentrate on what you call higher order instruction. You know, talk about how I guess paint that picture. Would these guidelines go into effect here and schools eventually, these will be a foundation, they'll come up with their own policies toward this. What is higher order instruction? And how will we get to a point where we're really cooking in that area?
Yeah, so one of the things that we can utilize AI for is the personalized learning. So we have, when we're working on this through our data modernization project at the OPI, where we're taking inputs from a student to see where, through their academic performances, through their attendance, all of these different components, to see where their strengths are and where we could support them more. And so if we have an idea of, where they're really excelling and then where we can challenge them, as well as where we can give them more support in reading math, science, other topics, then we can use AI to help us create a personalized learning plan with the incredible, knowledge of a teacher, especially a master teacher, being able to plug those components in and really create this personalized learning and hopefully some hands-on learning, actual in-the-field work-based learning, some of those opportunities, but making sure the student still has these components that they need. So that's what we're hoping to see, rather than, like I said earlier, a teacher having to spend, hours with a red pen correcting grammatical errors in a writing assignment. Even when I was still in the field and teaching third grade, I was using I had found a tool that would correct the spelling tests right then and there, instead of trying to correct them all by the end of the day on every break I had. So any tools that you can automate that are going to make it quicker, so you have that actual time to have those real-life conversations with your students about their goals and, big picture, and creating those more hands-on learning opportunities. And if we can automate some of the other things that are still important, that's the goal.
Yeah, there's a lot of promise in this too. And I'm glad we're looking at the ethical and the moral and the human connection side of it as well, and trying to walk it out a little bit. The state of Montana has done, I think they're out in front of the rest of the country, that's for sure, with developing these guidelines, K-12 AI education guidelines. And we're in on those here today, and they're important. Parents are in on them as well. Over 70% of parents believe AI is going to have a major role in their child's future careers. I don't think there's any doubt about that. 61% of U.S. teachers are already using these in assignments and classroom tools. How far can that go? I think we're just touching the very beginning of that. Susie Hedlund is with us here from the Montana Office of Public Instruction. She is our superintendent of public instruction. Susie, I appreciate your coming on today, and also, the work on this, as we had talked to, it's in conjunction with the Montana Digital Academy. I got a few questions, but Nancy in Roundup has called in and wants to, I think, encourage this as well. Susie, thanks for coming on. Nancy, you're on the air with Superintendent Hedlund.
Thank you, Tom, so much, and good morning, Susie. I'm so excited about this subject of AI. I just want to say, yes, I'm very, I want to offer great encouragement to the future generations, because I know you probably know this, but we're in the fourth industrial revolution right now. We've moved out of the first, which was steam power. The second was the industrial age. The third, in the 60s and 70s, of course, was the introduction to microchips and computers and artificial intelligence. Now we're going into the fourth revolution, and we're going into robotry, quantum computers, AI, and just a whole bunch of exciting things. And I just, there's a lot of fear mongering out there, and I don't know why people are doing this. I heard Bernie Sanders yesterday say we're going to lose 1.9 billion jobs. That's nonsense, because who puts the information into the computers? We do. We humans do. And I just want to say that our country of Japan, they have 125,000 working robots on the island, and it hasn't hurt their economy or taken any jobs away. So the only thing I want to say is that the quantum computers, NASA is using it, but quantum is so new that even the quantum physicists can't even completely explain it, how it works. But I'm encouraged by this. AI is being used in medical research and stuff. And you know, Susie, our country holds us back. The term AI was coined in 1953 at Dartmouth College during a research project. So God bless you, and God bless our students, and God bless the future. Don't fear AI. Embrace it.
Thank you, Nancy. That was a bit of a download. I appreciate that. Susie, some comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Tom. That was a lot of information. I appreciate your point of view, and I agree. We need to, you know, utilize AI as the incredible tool it is and make sure that we have guidance for schools to implement this in a positive way, and also have an understanding of the, you know, safety and security that we need to have in place. So that's why we put this tool and resource together with the great work of, you know, our partners in education and the Digital Academy. Thank you so much.
How long did that take? When did you start this project?
That is a good question. To be honest, I don't have an exact timeline. We have all been collaborating and working on guidance and the resources, how long the formal tool process has taken. That is hard to say because, you know, we've been meeting and having these conversations together for a couple of years now about AI. So this has been, you know, a while in the making, and the formal committee came together, you know, less than a year ago, I would say. And we just have so many partners in education. And that's what I think is really important about this committee and why this is, you know, really a usable tool. Right now, I'm seeing different groups come together and even, you know, different sectors of government putting out guidance for schools and not including educators or having that education voice in the room, which is, you know, not going to be a tool that then actually works out. So that's why I love being a state superintendent, as, you know, someone who was a teacher, a principal, and a superintendent, and working with my colleagues to develop tools that we can actually utilize in the classrooms and in our schools.
All right, we're all going to close our eyes now and imagine a classroom 5 to 10 years down from the road, Susie. And you've been in those classroom settings, and you guys have been trying to digest this. And I know it moves along in a lot of different ways, and it's hard to kind of envision that. But what is it that you see when you see this, a teacher using AI in whatever form, and their students learning from AI? What does that look like?
Thank you, Tom. This is an exciting opportunity to share. You know, like we talked about earlier, I think the whole goal is to utilize AI to take care of some of those lower level tasks so that we can take our learning to the next level. So we can, you know, really be doing the hands-on high level thinking. We can be using our critical thinking skills with our students to model what is coming out of AI and take our learning and our, you know, products of learning to the next level, whether it's a writing assignment or, you know, we're putting together a project-based learning or a community service initiative for our community. We can use AI to help with some of the beginning level tasks, to get some of the information put together, to put together letters and flyers and edit our writing. But we can really then have the time, that gift of time that AI gives us, by taking care of those smaller order tasks, to actually get hands-on and work together and collaborate and take things to the next level. And on the flip side of that, we just have to make sure that we're still engaging in that human interaction with our students. We're still having those conversations and making sure that that critical thinking is happening.
Yeah, that's one question I have here, too. How do you monitor that? You know, we talk about the benefit side. There is a risk side here as well. And the risk side, there's some heavy consequences and maybe long-reaching consequences as well. You know, what's and I hate to call it an enforcement mechanism, but what is the monitoring? What is an enforcement mechanism here for AI usage that might be off track?
I think it's just really important that we have transparency involved, that as educators and leaders, we're being transparent about when we're utilizing AI and disclosing that,
in expecting the same of our students, you know, and modeling that for them, and that we're using it in a way to handle those skills. You know, even with my colleagues, with other school leaders across the nation, we are learning together about how, you know, at a lot of our conferences lately, they say, you know, you should be thinking when you start a task, how could AI assist me in this task, so that you're not doing work that could easily be handled by AI, and so you can move on to the next level of work. So I think those are all important things, but we also have to find a balance, and we need to talk to our students about that, a balance in screen time, a balance in our use of technology, because, you know, like you said, there's consequences, and we need to keep children's mental health and safety in mind anytime we're thinking about the use of technology.
And I very much appreciate that. And none of these things can be taken lightly because we just there's a lot, I think, still to learn here. I want to ask you a little bit about the Blue Ribbon School Awards as well, too. But I want to make sure I finish up here with AI. I'm going to let you go here in about 6 minutes or so. Not that I'm moving off of this. It's really vital in a lot of ways. One question I have is the ethical standards have not been developed on a professional level almost in any industry when it comes to ethically using AI for authorship. Do kids understand that is very much an issue, especially in a world maybe outside of the schoolhouse?
Yes, that's definitely an understanding. And there are tools right now to monitor how much use of AI has gone into creating a writing sample, for example. And the students know that their high school teachers are using this. The colleges and high schools are already using tools that will identify. So you just upload your work, you can upload your students' work into these tools, and it will identify how much AI influenced the writing. So there are actually resources to help with that, and students are aware that we are using those at every level of education right now. So
they are, right? Yeah. And so they're challenging in the classroom. Are you taking shortcuts, Mrs. Whatever, you know, Mrs. Smith? Are you taking AI shortcuts? No, Johnny, we're not taking AI shortcuts. It's supplementing our education. And I like that. I appreciate that. You know, that transparency and honesty leads to real genuine opportunities in learning, I think.
You bet. Yeah, there's a way to see what percentage of of influence AI had on a writing example. And the teachers are having those discussions with their students about what is an appropriate amount. Yes, it's appropriate to have AI help you with editing, working through, you know, a great learning lesson is selecting better words. AI can help you, like, through Grammarly is a good tool to help you pick better vocabulary for your paper, those kinds of things. But you still need to have original thought in there, right? And these programs will identify that and help you have those conversations with your student about what a good balance is and percentage of the paper to have AI influence.
I really focused on this topic here, and I appreciate that. I was also still really curious as to the school start and how things are going in our schools, and throw out there this, Paul Wilson, principal of Fairfield High School, Sean Beth, or Bleth, I think it is, principal, Malta High School. They were selected National Blue Ribbon School Awardees, so congratulations to them. How's the school season starting out?
Thank you. The school is starting out very well. We're almost through with the first quarter in many of our schools, which is incredible to think of. But school has been off to a great start this year. I'm really excited. You know, we have room to improve on our education outcomes, our academic outcomes across the state of Montana, but there is a lot to celebrate. You know, I just met with our ACT, which is our high school assessment providers. The nice thing about us using the ACT in Montana for the high school assessment is that it also shows students if they are, you know, ready for college and have an opportunity to attend college right out the gate. And so it serves as a dual purpose. But we have some of the highest ACT scores in the nation. We actually scored second highest on one of the components of the test, the overall composite score. And then we have more students getting a perfect score on the ACT in Montana than most any other state.
Wow. And I know why that is, right? There's a work ethic in Montana, and you get rewarded, you know, for personal excellence in that regard. You know, I still think that those values are very important, you know, not just in our education, but in culture as well. What are they faced with? What kind of challenges? Social media seems to be tearing, you know, some families apart, or even some schools. There's still mental health issues that worry parents, I guess. You know, what are some of the challenges that kids are dealing with that educators need to respond to?
Yeah, mental health is definitely one that, you know, like we were talking about digital and technology earlier, it's really important that we have a balance there. I think cell phone free schools have really been helping. The students I've talked to are really in favor of this. It's helped them focus on school while they're in school and find some balance there. So anything like that we can do to support these students. A goal of mine is to increase access to mental health supports for our students across the state of Montana. So that's definitely an area that, you know, we can grow and improve. But we're seeing that all across the nation, that, you know, we just need more folks in that area. So, and something that we're doing, just like teacher recruitment and retention, is trying to incentivize and help create a pathway to create more experts in that field and in that area. So we're working with our universities and our, you know, college programs to try to get more students in those fields in the state of Montana, because that's an area that we need to address for sure.
Yeah. I look forward to chatting with you down the road too, Susie. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for the work on this as well. You know, Montana out in front on it too. And I think our kids are going to benefit from the fact that, you know, we're collaborating on this and we're doing it together. We're not afraid of it too. So good stuff.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, we are collaborating at an incredible rate right now. We have just really built a great relationship with the Commissioner of Higher Ed's office, with all of our partners in education, with our businesses and industry to give students an opportunity to learn in the field.
Susie,
and we look forward to celebrating our schools with you in the future.
Yes, we will. Thank you. Good. Nicely done. Got to run. We'll talk to you down the road. Be well.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.